grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. To those who look upon the cross, grant your wisdom, healing, and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated. Receive this Bible, hear God's word with us, learn and tell its stories, discover its mysteries, honor its commandments, rejoice in its good news. May God's life-giving word inspire you and make you wise. Now we'll sing.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out, but the people became impatient on the way. For the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 98 responsibly. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for those who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." But where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
gospel lesson contains one of the verses that is most famous, or maybe favorite, for so many people. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We usually focus on the first part of that verse. God so loved the world. But I think John wants us to pay more attention to the last part. Whoever believes may not perish. 84 times in the Gospel of John, that verb believe is used. The other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, combined, only use that word 31 times. Clearly, for John, there is something significant about believing for the life of the followers of Jesus. And it's not just a single verse that has that emphasis. It's all through his gospel. Believe. So what is this belief without which we will perish? Does it have something to do with strict adherence to some profound theological doctrine? Or a publicly declared acceptance of a certain faith tradition? Maybe it's a warm feeling that we have in our heart when we know Jesus. Or the clear logic in our minds when we understand. Or maybe it's that personal decision that we have made to become a follower of Jesus. Or maybe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's all of that, or none of that. What is belief? And why is John so interested, more concerned than the other gospel writers? Why is he so much emphasis on the importance of belief? These aren't just theological or theoretical questions that we should save some time for a Bible study or a discussion group. These are questions of everyday life for everyday people. We might be moved to ask these questions when we experience death of a loved one or have a brush with death ourselves. It's times like that that a nagging question in the back of our minds become real. Then we ask, do I really believe? Do I believe enough? And what is enough? What about those people that I love who say they don't believe? Will they perish like it says in this verse? Well, we could do a word study on that word perish, and then we would see that John is not intending to frighten us into believing. John is using that word perish to loop us back to the front of that sentence, to the contrast word in that sentence, believe. That's the key word, believe. The original meaning of that word has its root in relationship. To believe is not simply a mental exercise. The original Greek, pisteo, means an all-embracing relationship, an attitude of love and trust in God. Let me say that again. Believe means an all-embracing relationship, an attitude of love and trust in God. In belief, there is a central idea of a connection between God and humanity. All through John's gospel, he develops that idea of belief, pisteo. As the relationship of Jesus and the community grows, so grows belief, a relationship. That is what it is to believe, to have a relationship. And it's on the cross that that depth of relationship is revealed. The verses that we heard in this morning's gospel from John take place right before that. The story is the exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was that fellow that came to Jesus under the cover of darkness to ask him his questions, to test his belief in Jesus, to find out what their relationship was all about. The conversation concludes with Jesus asking Nicodemus a question, and the question just hangs between them unanswered. Jesus says, if I told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Nicodemus was not grounded in a relationship, in a trusting relationship with Jesus. Nicodemus did not believe, at least not at this point in the story. To believe is to have a relationship with God, a loving and trusting relationship. All through Scripture, from the creation story in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, all the way through Scripture to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, when the last verses with the throne, the great multitude of believers gathered around the throne. We see from the beginning to the end of Scripture that emphasis on relationship between God and humanity and between humans together. We are called and created to form a relationship within community and a trusting relationship with God. Without relationships, without community, we are doomed to perish. And that is so countercultural, so upside down from what society wants us to hear. Individualism and do it yourself, by yourself, for yourself are trumpeted as the way to go. But the truth is, we cannot survive in isolation. We need relationship. We need community. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If we look at belief as a list of rules or doctrines, we might miss the significance of this important verse. It isn't about adhering to a specific creed. It's not even about acting in a specific way. Belief is an all-embracing relationship, an attitude of love and trust of God. And that's the relationship that God calls us to be a part of. The living water, the light of the world, the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, this God calls us in to that kind of a relationship that is all-embracing, an attitude of love and trust. Have you found that during this hot weather season, you've been drinking a little more water than usual? We need to drink a lot of water when it's so hot to keep from having dehydration and to keep from having heat stroke. Use that image of thirst and the necessity of water as an analogy. Just as our bodies require water to avoid perishing, so our souls thirst for living water, the life-giving relationship with God, our Creator and Redeemer. This relationship with God is what gives us salvation. This is what keeps us from perishing. This relationship is not something that boxes us in, but rather that invites us to step out of any box that holds us back, any confining box, but to step out of that into the freedom of a life-giving relationship with God, the God who loves us and calls us to be free in that love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. This is not a threat. This is a promise, a wonderful promise from God. And we do believe, and we do trust in that promise of God who loves us and wants us to live and wants us to share that loving and trusting relationship with God and with one another.